So good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world again.
Yeah.
This is Satchanama at Adishtana, still in the midst of the current Preceptors College meeting. And this morning I have with me Gnanashuri from India, and Karen Amaya, who supports some of Gnanashuri's work out in India. And we're going to talk a little bit about the women's ordination training in India and the work that the two of you do. Perhaps you could just start by giving me a sense of the scale of the work in terms of numbers and where the women come from around India, whether it's mainly Maharashtra or...
Mostly from city area,
yeah.
Not village. Some ladies coming from village also.
Right.
And they like to participate in retreat. But sometimes they feel very difficult,
yeah,
because of money and because of home responsibility. And sometimes husband not giving permission to go to classes and retreats also. So
right.
That is more difficult for women there. Not very individual.
Right.
And we were talking about how hard for women sometimes to travel, because
yeah.
sometimes long distances are needed to get to our retreat
yeah.
centres.
And not very much secure also for women
yes.
in India.
Mm.
Every day something happened.
Mm.
Right.
So
yes.
that fear in mind also.
So just travelling can be an issue for them,
mm.
not always feeling safe.
I mean, the,
yeah.
the world press has heard much more about the difficulties for women
mm.
being attacked.
Right.
Yeah. In more recent times, but there's so much that goes unreported.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not just looking at one area, we're actually looking at eventually the whole of India, but
yeah.
there are activities going on in Gujarat, in which is sort of northwest.
Yeah.
There are activities going on in Uttar Pradesh, Uttarakhand, so
Goa
and going
Goa
and things going on further south.
Mm.
So the ordination team women are travelling quite long distances sometimes.
Mm.
But still, we are often dependent on people coming to Maharashtra,
yeah.
to our two
yeah.
retreat centres there,
yeah.
which is quite more central. Yeah,
yeah.
Budget and border on.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you, Gnanashuri, whereabouts do you live yourself? You're in Maharashtra?
Maharashtra.
Mm. In Pune or?
Aurangabad.
Aurangabad.
Which unfortunately has very bad transport connections. So Gnanashuri, so many times she travels on an overnight bus from Aurangabad to get to our retreat centre in near Nagpur, or to Nagpur, and you know it's 10 hours or so on a bus, pretty bad conditions.
Road also not good.
Yes.
So
she really is her name, Shuri, which means hero. Heroin.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
And in terms of numbers of women training for ordination, I mean, do you actually know, when I've asked for men, you know, sometimes the numbers are not entirely specific,
yeah.
but is it...
How many women are involved in the ordination training?
Oh, many.
So hundreds or thousands?
Well,
or
we think there may be at least 800 people, women who've asked
more
for
than 800, no.
More than 800.
Yeah.
But
ask for ordination.
Right.
Yeah, but our team is not big, so we cannot concentrate on all ladies.
Mm.
But we're trying.
Mm.
But
yeah.
But we've had open GFR retreats where I think one time 150 women just turned up.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, normally we aim for those big retreats to have no more than 100.
Yeah.
This 150 ladies only from one side.
Right.
Different side again, 150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the team you work with, how many people are actually in the team? So that I know Vijaya is part of that team.
Yeah.
There are up to 20, but that's spread across two main centres in India. And, well, many of those women are working voluntarily and you know, part-time.
Hmm.
There's maybe a core of maybe six or so,
six to eight.
Yeah,
six.
Maybe six, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, but many women are working part-time
yeah.
or definitely on a voluntary basis.
But But they're doing very well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely. And the Bodhisattva spirit is alive. Yeah.
And do you get many younger women coming along, or what's the sort of age range?
Yeah, now starting. When I in Sangha, when I start to come in Sangha, that time nobody here.
Right.
Me also that 45 that time.
Yeah.
But now young women.
So women in their 20s and...
And educated also.
Yes.
Good. So the work in terms of training people for ordination, how do you go about that in the context you have in India? So you have retreats and...
We have first open GFR retreat, then invited retreat. So some batches, different. And we choose from them.
Yeah.
And then last retreat.
Yeah.
There's sort of like three levels of involvement. Yes, the open retreats, which can be really quite large.
Yeah.
And then because you can't, we can't get to know the women so deeply in such large numbers. And we've got like two levels of invited retreats.
Right.
Yeah.
The final level being the women who we think are really close to ordination, so that we can work more intensively with them. And then encouraging things to happen in the local centres as well.
And the on the retreats, you explore the same kinds of themes that people in the West would be looking at and study meditation.
We've got those themes in mind, and we may approach them in different ways. I mean,
Can you say a bit about what might be different?
Well, I know in the West they often study the first section of the Survey of Buddhism.
Right.
So that's not available to us in India.
Right.
But we have found other ways of working with that kind of material. You're looking at Pratityasamutpada, looking at other themes, you know, the Lakshanas and so on. We found other ways of working with that. Yeah, that's one example.
All right. The Ten Precepts, presumably, is still part of
that. Ten Precepts is translated into Hindi and in Marathi.
Yeah.
And we make quite a big thing about that. We ideally, all women would have studied it at least twice on retreat, and if not three times plus, doing it in their local centres as well. That's an ideal world, but there are many cities and places where there are no Dharmacharanis.
Yes.
Yeah.
That can be a problem.
Sometimes we feel that not very capable to lead study also.
Right.
Because of study.
Yeah.
They have not good study, so they can't teach.
Right.
So that also.
So are there other sorts of issues that are particularly faced by women who are, you know, these 800 or so women wishing to join the order? I mean, what things would help them or could support them more, you know?
We need more and more people.
So you need more Dharmacharanis to help them.
Capable Dharmacharanis.
We have in mind that to have a women's retreat centre community would help deepen the practice.
Right. So Balderan and Bhaja are both...
They're run by
men's communities.
But we have women's retreats there. But to have a residential community where more intensive practice could go on a regular basis.
Is that a possibility?
There's a definite possibility in Bhaja.
Because we can't do differently. Long way from support.
Yes.
Because in India, not good situation for ladies.
Right.
And mostly Buddhist ladies are untouchables. Other Hindu people always focus on them.
Right.
Yeah, so we need help.
Yeah.
We chose the place of Bhaja near.
There's some land that we could use there.
And then are there potential people who would live there? Have you got...
Yes. I mean, many years ago, when there was discussion about having a women's retreat centre separate, some of the men order members were talking about having to have guards with guns to patrol the perimeter. So if this Bhaja option works, then that could be good.
Yeah.
Because there's already a men's community there.
Right.
And good relations with the local people.
Yeah.
Great. That sounds really good. So presumably virtually all the women are married, are they, and in family situations?
Mostly married.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that makes it more difficult for them to get away on retreats. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in terms of, do you have the resources that you need for the work you're doing? I know the India Dharma Trust do some right. funding.
Yes. I mean, always there's a need for more money.
Right.
And, you know, one of the limiting factors is the lack of funds.
Yes.
You know, we don't just need money to get this retreat centre off the ground. We need money to keep the ordination teams running.
Mm-hmm. Right. And presumably so more of them yes. can work full-time exactly. rather than part-time. Mm-hmm.
And, well, the ordination teams have, in some ways, a greater significance than they perhaps have elsewhere mm-hmm. in that they have a great importance in terms of, you know, the welfare of the whole movement. You know, yeah. they make contribution more than just running ordination training retreats.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of helping the order at large, helping the harmony in the centres yeah. and things like that. Yes.
And I know there were quite a number of Indian Dharmacharanis did come over
yes.
to the UK. Was it about 30, 20 or 30?
I think about 30.
30.
Yes.
So did that have a noticeable effect? I mean, have you...
yeah. Very inspired.
Right, yeah.
I talk with some Dharmacharini coming back. Mm. So I feel that they are very inspired and they try to more and more involved.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So presumably for most of them it was a first visit.
Yeah.
To the UK, to Adishtana, first time. Yeah. I know they had a photo taken with Bhante, so they did get to see him.
Yes, I mean, it was amazing because a number of them couldn't speak any English.
Mm. Yeah.
But I would see, when I was on the convention, I'd see them still communicating with other order members.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they were communicating without English.
Amazing. Ishottama telling me how she communicated.
Ishottama? Oh, yes. But she managed to communicate.
Yeah, she said.
I remember it was one of the highlights for me. I came out to Bodh Gaya for the 2009 convention when we were doing prostrations beneath the Bodhi tree. And I was doing them next to some of the Indian Dharmacharanis who I didn't know. I didn't know their names or didn't speak to them. But I had a very strong sense of we were doing the same thing, just prostrating beneath the Bodhi tree. So even without being able to communicate language-wise, there was strong communication happening. I felt a strong bond with my sisters in India. So it was lovely to have them all here. Okay, well, I wish both of you all the best in your work and supporting the work out there, Karen and Maya. It's very noble, heroic work. And if people do want to support or get involved, they can support via the India Dharma Trust, can't they?
There's a web page and the means to make financial contribution.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Great. Okay, well, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Interview this morning. Thank you.